Good evening and welcome. You're watching The Buck Stops Here. I'm Vishnu Shom. It's a day when there's been a horrific tragedy in Kolkata. 18 people are dead in the collapse of a flyover in the very busy Boro Bazar part of the city. 15 bodies have been recovered, and the big concern is that many more people may be trapped under, dead or alive. As we speak, rescue teams of the National Disaster Relief Force are trying to dig through the debris, as are jawans and officers of the Indian Army. Every second is precious. The best technology available to try and retrieve bodies or people who may be alive from under this debris is being utilized. But it's difficult, it's time-consuming. This is a part of Kolkata which is extremely congested. It's a part of Kolkata which is in many ways a busy, busy hub of industry, of business, of local markets. And where it took place on the Vivekanand Road, the Vivekanand Marg, is where this flyover was being constructed. It's a flyover that's been constructed since 2009. It's a project that's had lots of problems. But today, as we broadcast this news to you, we can only pray that those who are still alive under that debris are pulled out sooner than later. Let's go straight across now to NDTV Saurabh Gupta, who's been tracking the story from the ground. Firstly, Saurabh, what is the very latest that you're getting? Because a little while earlier, there was this story, this dramatic story of five policemen who were trapped under the debris, five policemen who were alive. Have they been pulled out?
Well, yes, the rescue operations are on. One of those policemen have been pulled out. And, of course, the operations are still on to get people who may be still trapped inside. Now, what the NDRF is saying, that once somebody is pulled out, we start looking for the next person immediately. Because, like you mentioned, that golden hour, those few early hours after, you know, this accident took place is most important. And it's important to bring people who may be trapped under the debris alive out. Now, there are a couple of things that people have been saying here. For example, it's a project that has seen controversies. It was opposed by local residents. And also, earlier in the day, people were talking about how this company itself has been questioned earlier. So all of these questions now being asked. The Chief Minister of West Bengal, Mamata Banerjee, has been camping at this site ever since she called off campaigning duties in other parts of Bengal and returned to Kolkata after this disaster. Now also, she has been saying that yes, this is a project that was not started by our government, it was started by the earlier government. So obviously, a lot is going to be said and spoken about this this incident, given the fact that it's also at a time in Bengal where politics is being played at every level. So clearly, the tragedy here is there, but there will be definitely politics around the tragedy as well.
Saurabh, let's just focus for the moment less on who may be responsible. We'll do that in a little while from now, and more on the rescue efforts. There were real concerns which were expressed earlier on by our colleague Monidipa, that there may in fact be minibuses trapped underneath, unconfirmed reports that even school vehicles may be trapped underneath. Is there any confirmation of what else or how many are missing? Because by now people would get a rough idea of how many may be missing. Families would be looking for their loved ones.
Well, that's right, Vishnu. But what the police and what the NDRF are saying is, since this is a busy thoroughfare, since it was a road that's very busy, very congested, and there were many vehicles under that under construction flyover, it is difficult to put a number to how many may actually
Point taken,
under the debris.
Sort of point now, taken, yes, I need to interrupt you now, because we are joined on the phone line by Lieutenant General Rajiv Tiwari, the General Officer Commanding Bengal Area. Thank you very much, sir, for speaking to us. General, in terms of the rescue operations now taking place, what is the very latest? Have you been able to extricate more bodies or people alive from this debris?
Vishnu, our efforts are ongoing. Right from the time when we were called out, we reached there at about 2:35 or so. But unfortunately, we haven't had any survivors yet that we found. Some dead bodies have been taken out, and our efforts are on to try and reach any survivors, and we will continue our efforts till we find either survivors or people who have perished in this unfortunate incident.
General, just for the benefit of our viewers, what is the length of the stretch which has collapsed?
It's one span of the bridge that was under construction, which has fallen down, and it's approximately, I would say, about 100 or 150 meters long. That is collapsed.
And sir, there were reports that even buses, school vehicles, they could be trapped underneath. Is there any evidence to suggest that?
Yes, there are vehicles which have been trapped under the heavy girders. For sure, we have seen ourselves a truck which is crushed under the girders, as also a number of cars and auto rickshaws. We have heard about inputs about two minibuses that may have been trapped, but that is not confirmed. But we are still trying our best to reach whatever is underneath the rubble.
General, are there voices that you can hear underneath, areas that you're trying to focus on, because you know that there are people trapped there as we speak?
No, we are trying our best, but we've heard no voices. In fact, the NDRF has some equipment wherein you can insert a camera into crevices and try and locate anything that is moving. That has also been done in the number of places where we've been able to penetrate the surface. But no sign of any movement and no voices so far.
What are the resources that you've put into this rescue operation?
Vishnu, we have a very well-rehearsed disaster relief scheme. And we had moved five columns of ours along with supporting elements of engineers and medical teams and specialist equipment like gas cutters and cranes, etc. And we've also taken into account the resources which we had as far as the NDRF is concerned and other agencies. The civil administration, for example, gave us two heavy-duty cranes which have come in very handy. So all those resources have been put into service.
And so you're going to remain there for as long as it takes. It goes without saying,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. We will go down right to the last debris in order to search for any survivors. We are praying that there are some survivors, but we will not stop till we reach the bottom of the debris.
Lieutenant General Rajiv Tiwari, General Officer Commanding of the Bengal Area, thank you very much, sir, for speaking to us. Hundreds of Indian Army officers and jawans deployed over there in assistance of civil authority, trying to get through that debris to recover people dead or alive under that debris. Let's go back now to NDTV's Saurabh Gupta. Saurabh, you've spent a lot of time there today. Did you see people being pulled out of there alive? Just describe to us what you saw over the last several hours.
Well, unfortunately, no one I have seen has been pulled out alive. Yes, I did see a few dead bodies being pulled out alive, but then that's the sad part of it, that people here are trying. I mean, the NDRF is putting its best foot forward, like General was talking about. They have those specialist equipments, thermal imaging apparatus that could give you signs of life under the debris. And also, they've brought in their sniffer dogs. All of that is there. But unfortunately, the sad story is that there seems to be a lot of people trapped underneath. And the images that one gets to see here when one comes here is actually heartbreaking, because you see cars that are completely smashed under the rubble. And it's difficult to get in because the girders are so heavy. They're thick iron girders, on top of which you have a heavy concrete slab which has become debris. So it is turning out to be an extremely difficult operation, and we've been witnessing that. These officers, these jawans who are on the ground haven't stopped. But yes, this is a sad day for Kolkata, a city that's seen perhaps its worst tragedy in terms of road disasters, at least in the last few hours. And people are trying, people are giving it their best shot. But yes, unfortunately, very, very little good news coming out of here.
All right. Saurabh, do stay with us. I'm going to go across to our panel now. Before I do that, just a couple of important points mentioned by the General Officer Commanding Bengal Area, who is looking after the Army's relief efforts, rescue efforts at this stage. We aren't using the word relief. We are still looking at trying to get people out. There are vehicles that he says that have been seen under heavy girders, trucks, cars, autos, and very significantly he has heard about minibuses being under that debris as well. One just hopes that information is not entirely correct. If there are minibuses, were they loaded minibuses, how many people were on them? Saurabh Gupta has a point to make. Saurabh, go ahead, yes?
Vishnu, the important thing to note is on this road, there are a lot of minibus routes that apply. So, yes, the possibility of minibuses being trapped underneath that debris is pretty much there. Most of the bus routes that ply on the Vivekananda Road that come in from Howrah Station towards North Calcutta, many of those buses, for example, a bus that plies from Howrah to Nagar Bazar uses this route. And so there are the chances of buses being trapped underneath, and that's something that cannot be ruled out till people actually reach the bottom of the debris.
Yeah, okay. Thanks very much, Saurabh. Again, we'll come back to you in a few moments. Let's go across to Suhail Seth, who's been brought up in Kolkata. Also, the urban planner Chandrasekhar Prabhu joins us at this stage. Suhail, let me come to you first. A few hours back when we were discussing this, you felt that this was almost a tragedy which was going to happen in Kolkata. It's chaotic. It's a crisis when it comes to development like this in the city.
But you know, Vishnu, the tragedy is that these crises are known crises. It isn't a crisis that we didn't imagine. Calcutta has had a history of these kinds of crises, whether there are fires, whether there are collapses of buildings, blah, blah, blah. The problem is not about Calcutta or a flyover. The problem is the way we award contracts to people. The problem is the way we choose companies which will build public infrastructure. And to that end, I think we've been woefully inadequate. We have this nonsensical view in this country about L1, which is the lowest tender. We don't have accountability. You've had a fire in a hospital in Calcutta, EMRI, where people, perished. The promoters went to jail and nothing happened. They went out of jail. The judicial process is tardy. People are using every trick in the book to get away. So the point that I wish to make is, unless you have deterrent punishment, unless you create an architecture of public infrastructure which is adequate, safe and purposeful, you will have these things repeated. It's not about one flyover in Calcutta. It's about the way we look at public infrastructure in our country. It's almost as if it doesn't matter. Number two, look at our emergency medical response systems in India. They are pathetic, to say the least. Today, what happened in Calcutta, you would have had an army, and you should have had an army of paramedics who are trained to handle this. The entire process is so tardy, it is so anti-citizen, that you almost begin to wonder that why are we paying taxes in this country for our governments to kill innocent people? Because I regard this as homicide. The fact that on your program earlier you mentioned the owner or the promoter or the top brass of this company saying it's an act of God. These are the people who should be locked away in prison for life. But they always get away. And they get away because of this garb of democracy and justice and all that crap that we have. The reality is these people will continue to inflict havoc and hurt people who are normal, innocent citizens. Nothing seems to give way. Look at the way we plan urban infrastructure. Just the planning. If you've seen the flyover, as I did on March the 5th, Vishnu, this flyover could have never happened. Okay. It is complex. There is no, meeting of ends. I mean, I don't know who planned this.
Yeah.
I mean, even a child could tell you that this flyover wouldn't work.
Yeah.
You build flyovers in heavily congested areas, completely unsafe. You don't have ramps that allow people to get off in the middle of the flyover, and then you think that disasters won't happen.
Yeah. Let's
so
go across.
There is a problem that we now need to confront. We need to use this tragedy to learn lessons.
Yep. Let's go across to Kakoli Ghosh, the Trinamool Congress MP. Thank you very much for joining us at this stage. I don't want to get into, who is responsible, the Trinamool or the left. But ma'am, before I come to you, just bear with me. I want to go across to NDTV's Monidipa Banerjee, who has a live update. Monidipa, go ahead. Monidipa, go ahead with your live update.
Hello?
Monideepa, you are on air. Go ahead with your live update.
I'm so sorry. I just couldn't hear because there's so much noise over here. We've just spoken to the chief minister and have what she's certainly hoping is the final tally. There are 18 people dead. They are dead and in hospital. 15 of them have been identified. 3 more persons are dead, but lying in such a precarious condition under the collapsed flyover that it will take time to remove them, remove their bodies, because, you know, if they are removed suddenly or quickly, more portions of the flyover may collapse. The chief minister also said that 85 people have been injured, but most have been given treatment and sent home. There are about 15 to 20 people left in hospital at the moment, and she is going to visit them. On the builders of the company, on their statement that, you know, it was God's intervention, or it was a disaster caused by God and not because of any technical malfunction on their part, Mamata Banerjee was very categorical. She said that's absolutely rubbish. We have to thank God that more people have not died. And we will take the most stringent action against the Hyderabad.
On what basis does Mamata Banerjee say that more people have not died? Or is this because they are certain that this is where this tragedy ends? Because the army, for example, have heard about minibuses, autos, cars, trucks, vehicles under heavy girders. So how is there a sense that the government believes that no more people have died?
Yes, that is the optimistic hope that no more people have died. 18 plus 3 dead bodies under the rubble still, so that's a total toll of 21. Most important clarification that the talk of or the rumors of a bus or a minibus being stuck under the rubble appears to be erroneous, because they have used their thermal machines and mapped the area, and there doesn't seem to be any possibility of that having happened. So that is a huge relief. Mamata Banerjee also saying that we will, you know, she did blame politically the left front for getting in this company to make this particular flyover, and she said the company would be investigated. Most important, very strong words, she said, we cannot allow people to just be killed like this.
Okay, let's go across to the Trinamool Congress MP, Kakoli Ghosh, who joins us on the phone line. Ma'am, do you believe that this is where this tragedy has ended? Are you confident that there are no more bodies inside, that there are no other survivors inside the debris?
As of now, from the information that we get from the rescuing teams, they have used ultra-modern techniques. And from what they tell us, I think there are no more people or vehicles under the rubble. But everybody is trying very hard, and let us all pray for the departed souls. Let us stand in solidarity and compassion to the bereaved families. And we are taking all measures to ensure that the people who are responsible for this will be punished.
So, ma'am, when you hear statements, and we'll play that out in just a moment from now, from the head of the company, the IVRCL company, which was actually given this particular contract, the head of this company actually said it's an act of God. He said it's an act of God, that technically there was nothing wrong, it was an act of God. How do you respond to that statement?
Well, I cannot respond to a stupid statement like that. And definitely the investigation ordered by Honorable Chief Minister, she's taking all steps to stand by the bereaved families and the dead, and she is also taking steps to have investigations regarding the responsibility of who's concerned. This was started in, as I gather, 2008, but it took a long time coming about, and she is taking all steps. So whoever is just trying to pass the buck, I guess.
Ma'am, I just want you to be on the line for a moment. We are joined by Babul Supriyo, the Trinamool Congress MP. Mr. Supriyo, who is responsible for this? Would you say that the fault of this lies entirely with the company? Or do you believe that the Trinamool government, or for that matter, the left in the past, are also accountable?
Well, it's quite alarming and very, I am really appalled to see that I do not know one of my colleagues from Srinamal Congress, in a sense, our colleague from the parliament must be speaking right now. But the fact, the very fact that they are bringing in 2008, 2009 under CPIM in a tragic moment like this actually shows the mindset of the regional government. What do they mean by this honorable chief minister doing her best to take care of the dead and the injured and all that? Obviously, that is what she's supposed to do. What was she doing in executing this project, which was getting done in the middle of a densely populated area where I have
no, but this was a project started by the left in the past. You can't dismantle a project which is underway, no, can you?
Excuse me?
Babulda, you cannot dismantle a project which was already underway. So why criticize the Trinamool when this was a project which was started in 2007-2008 by the left front government in the state?
Well, I erect a illegal building in front of you, or even a legal building in front of you, I think when governments change, apart from doing development work, they also have the responsibility to rectify the misgivings of the previous government. There is a reason why CPM was gone and BD came in, right? So if this bridge was started by CPIM, and if Trinamool felt that this the design was faulty and things were not going in the manner it needed to go, why did they have the power to dismantle it?
Okay.
So I don't want to get into this dirty politics right now. What is appalling is that only about a year and a half back, one other bridge, flyover, fell off around Salt Lake, around Ulturanga. Nothing has been learned in this 1.5 years. There is no equipment. What is the first thing that you expect? Rescue work to start immediately. The state government is not even equipped to have the right equipment to help the injured and the people.
Okay, Babulda, I need you. I need Kakuli Ghosh to respond to all of that. Ma'am, the point being made by Babul Supriyo is that your government needs to take accountability. Yes, this was a project started earlier on, but there were faults and you should have rectified it or worked at it. Is that something you can accept?
One, I would like to say that at when so many people have died and so many people are injured, I think it throws a very light on people who are trying to politicize this issue. We should stand together in solidarity for the people who have lost their lives or got injured. And I would like to point out that there is a bridge on Ichhamoti River in Boshirhat district of West Bengal, which has been abandoned, which had started so many years back. But after our government came to power, we saw that there were cracks in the bridge. The bridge has been abandoned. So when we can see this, we have done our work. There is proof. About the Ulturanga Bridge, it has been repaired. We have proof. This was being made under construction. Let us not do this and politicize this issue at this
okay. All right. It's a fair point. It's a fair point. Kakuli Ghosh Dostidhar, it is a very fair point. Let us not politicize it at this stage.
No. But they brought up 2008 and 2009 and CPIM in the morning. I genuinely feel that accountability is definitely there. Everyone has to take responsibility.
Okay. Everybody needs to take responsibility.
If there were people, residents staying nearby, they should have seen.
Okay.
They should have done something about
okay.
it.
Okay, I want to go across at this stage to Mr. O.P. Singh, the Director General of the National Disaster Relief Force. He heads an agency that is the most specialized and the best trained agency in this country and the best equipped to deal with situations like this. Firstly, sir, is there any evidence of minibuses being under the debris even now?
Vishnu, can you repeat the question? I haven't heard you properly.
Yeah, sir, is there any evidence to suggest that there are still minibuses trapped under the debris as of now?
Vishnu, I can't tell you exactly because this is what the people have been talking about, but I'm not very sure about it. Unless the rubble is cleared completely or even partially, we cannot get inside and start the search operations. We have been doing little bit of search operations where we extricated three dead bodies, one of them being a women's dead body. But apart from that, we can't say authoritatively how many people are trapped or is there any bus which is inside the rubble. apart from that, you know, we have, though we are carrying all kinds of sophisticated equipments, but it's difficult to say right now. Let me take some more time to give you an authoritative answer. Our operations will continue throughout the night, and we'll be in a position to tell you exactly how many people are trapped inside, or even a bus is trapped inside, only after some time.
Yeah.
Unless we start our search operations, we cannot say.
Sir, in terms of the thickness of the structure itself, how many feet are your drills having to penetrate? I ask this because I'm trying to get some sort of indicator from you on how much time it may take before you are able to actually dig through to the bottom of the debris to get to whatever potentially lies underneath.
It's not very audible, but all that I've heard and I can understand what you're saying, what you're asking is how much time will it take to, are you asking the timeline or?
No, sir, I'm asking about,
I'm not,
sir, I am
audible.
Asking the timeline, I'm asking how deep is the debris, because that would give us an indicator of the time you need to drill through it.
How big is the debris? You know, the last report I heard was that it's being cleared manually. All the agencies are working together. They are trying to clear it manually because it's not possible for any crane, for any earth movers or other big machinery to come inside because of the area being so crowded. So they are doing it manually. So it will take some time. I can't tell you exact time, but it's going to take some time.
Sir, you make a very important point that the area is very congested. Is that your biggest problem now, that the very heaviest equipment that you require in terms of cranes and things aren't able to get to the area that you need them?
Yeah, that's one of the problems. It's one of the impediments because the area being so crowded, congested, naturally, you have lot many problems. You have the problems of accessibility. You have the problems of connectivity. You have the traffic problem. You have the clearance of the route problem. Even if somebody gets injured and he has to be evacuated and taken to the hospital, you need the road to be cleared. Even the response teams, they have to reach there well in time, very quickly. But because of the nature of the locality, it becomes difficult. So these are some of the challenges we often face, and we often face during such eventualities.
All right, answer a couple of other questions. Firstly, the equipment that you are using, and we've seen this in Nepal as well. So you've got acoustic sensors to pick up sound. Is that correct? Thermal cameras. What else are you using?
Yeah, absolutely. You said it right. We are carrying all kinds of equipments through noise, through sense, through cameras. We try to capture the images. Victim locating cameras are there, and the life detectors are there. So we are carrying all those equipments, and we are also carrying our sniffer dogs. We have our different kind of cutters, gas cutters, angle cutters. If we have to cut anything, the concretes or the iron sheets, then perhaps we can cut them. Then we have the hydraulic jacks also, through which we can lift something. Air lifting bag is there. Then you have the chipping hammers. All these equipments are there. We are not short of equipments. All that we need is that, you know, the little bit of clearance of the rubble so that we can start our search operations in a very massive and professional way. We have been doing it for the last couple of hours, but not very effectively because of the rubbles.
All right, Mr. O.P. Singh, thank you very much for speaking to us. The Director General of the National Disaster Relief Force talking about the rescue efforts which are taking place in Kolkata. Thanks very much indeed. We're also joined at this stage by Ronnie Sen. He's a photographer in Kolkata. He sent us a lot of photographs which we'll play out as well. We are joined by Chandrasekhar Prabhu, the architect and urban planner, and the activist Nilanjana Chakravarti also joins us. Before I go across to them, I'd like to just play out a quick soundbite of what the head of this company, IVRCL, had to say when asked what went wrong.
And we already done almost 65-70% of the work is already over. Still the remaining 45% is supposed to complete. And still in the process. Nothing has happened. Today, the girders were missed, it seems. Still is in the process. One girder is missed, then second one also fell. And that's how the accident has taken place. It's nothing but a guard's act.
About 70% plus work has been completed, and even this top slabs what we are doing, 60th slab we are doing today. So it is not due to any quality issue or any technical issue as we see as of now, right now.
Chandrasekhar Prabhu, when you hear about companies, and this is a 5,000 crore construction company, it's been blacklisted in many parts of the country for other projects. But when you see their top bosses say it is an act of God, what does that really indicate about the value of life in this country?
It's very funny that companies choose this, you know, when all kinds of arguments fail. You take resort to God and say that it's an act of God. I mean, it's very, very obvious. There is something wrong which has resulted in this disaster. Either it's the design which is faulty, or the technique of construction which is faulty, or the materials that have been used and utilized that is faulty, or there has been some accident wherein some member, some strong structural member or girder has pushed something, resulting in these girders collapsing. It can't just happen out of itself. A perfectly stable bridge cannot just collapse on its own. There has to be some external trigger for that. And we really need to find out what that is. Perhaps it's too early in the day to find, but when all these agencies are probing into it, there would be someone who will have to look at why this actually happened. And I'm sure it's very easy to blame or put the blame on God and say it's an act of God. I'm sure there is some reason over and above. Of course, one can argue that every act that happens, not even a leaf can move without the permission of God. So everything happens with the permission of God. That apart. But in this kind of a tragedy, we really have to find out what is it that has caused this collapse. Yep. And then, you know, ensure that in the future such lapses don't happen. We really need to understand why the bridge collapsed, why the girders fell like a pack of cards, and why so many deaths have happened. And that's, let's not leave that to chance. Sure. Or let's not leave that to putting, okay, blame on someone. It's genuine people's life that has gone. It's lives that is at stake. Yep. And you cannot take it lightly and leave it by making some casual.
Okay, I take your point completely. I want to go across to Nilanjana Chakrabarty. Nilanjana, this was a project which was awarded in 2009, right? It was awarded in 2009. It had a budget of 164 crores and an 18-month deadline. This was in 2009. It is now 2016. How has this particular project been one nightmare after the other?
Vishnu, the problem today in our country is, you know, of this entire system is rotten. I'm sorry to say, but the entire system is rotten. I do not want to get into any kind of political bickering because I'm a non-political person, but I just look at it from a common man's point of view. There's way too much of corruption around. First thing. Second thing is this system of awarding contracts, you know, to certain contractors, you know, that is a huge question mark all over India, I think. And here also it's no big riddle to understand that. The fact of the matter is that whenever a construction starts, it's very, very rare that it finishes on time. There is a certain stipulated budget involved. It supersedes the budget, first thing. Second thing is then, you know, the blame game starts. Then there's a breakage, there's a stoppage. Then again, there is, I think, some amount of exchange of, you know, whatever, you know what I mean. exchange of hands here and then again the project starts. So honestly speaking, it's only the money factor that counts. There's no accountability, there's no responsibility, and I'm talking about the especially about the contractors here in Calcutta especially, and other parts of India as well, where I have seen roads are being repaired, roads are being taken care of. After a few months again they are in a state of disarray. This area is absolutely a crowded area. Just a month back I happened to pass that area because I wanted to buy something from the wholesale market. It was a nightmare for me, and do you know that this flyover almost gets into people's homes? So whoever's designed this flyover, I'm a layman, I do not understand anything about engineering,
right.
But I can tell you from a naked eye that it was absolutely bizarre, and there are buildings which are more than 100 years old.
Yep.
So how do you construct a flyover on such a location?
Yep.
How was it okayed? So there are a lot of questions which remain to be answered. And second thing, the most important thing is now what we really need to see is that there are many other flyovers which have been built, completed. So we need to ensure that they are in the right order.
There needs to be some sort of audit of them.
Continuous monitoring needs
point.
To be done. A committee needs
yep.
to be set up. A neutral committee needs to be set up,
yep.
whereby complete transparency has to be there.
Okay,
because it's
I,
a question
I,
of
I take
so
those
many
points
human
completely,
lives.
Nilanjan,
in
I couldn't
city.
Agree more. There needs to be an audit of many other projects in West Bengal, not just in Kolkata. Ronnie
yes.
Sen, a photographer in the city
like
and in that area,
sure.
has taken a lot of incredible photographs, and we're going to actually play out some of the photographs that he has taken. Ronnie, you believe that many more people were actually trapped underneath it than what has perhaps been reported. As a photographer and an eyewitness over there, is that what you still believe?
See, the whole area is quite big. If you see at a stretch, it's about 100 meter, which has fallen down. So on a Thursday morning, on a Thursday afternoon, the amount of traffic that one would expect in a, you know, city, on a road like that. So, I mean, we aren't very sure what is underneath, because these are all heavy iron and concrete debris which is there, and we would not get any proper idea of the entire damage since the entire rescue operation is finished, you know. So I was there since very early. The moment I heard something like this is happening, I was there. So now the thing is that there's too much of chaos on the ground. I don't know how well coordinated the entire rescue operation is going on. And now what has happened is that I saw that a lot of politicians coming. So, and what it does is that, you know, it increases the chaos, which is already there. I mean, everybody wants to go there, see what has happened. And this sort of scene has actually, it has become very difficult for people to work there. And now when these guys are saying that, you know, I mean, please don't politicize the whole issue. There's something that I would, you know, as a citizen of this city, I would like to say that let the politicians, in fact, let them promise that they would not come and inaugurate these flyovers when they are done. You know, there would not be any kind of pressure to finish these roads, these flyovers, you know. So, I mean, these are very important questions that the city has to ask. That who are the people who are designing this? Who are the people who are planning this? You know, I mean, you don't make a flyover like that in that stretch. I mean, if you go down there, you will see there's hardly 2-3 feet distance from the balcony,
yeah.
you know, to the flyover. So, I mean, you know, all these kind of things has to be looked at. And people, there has to be accountability.
Okay.
That who are asking for this, who is actually benefiting from this and so on.
Okay, I take all of those points, Ronnie Sen. Thank you so much. And also thank you for sharing those photographs of yours. Just, we're going to try and pull out an interview that Monadipa Banerjee has done with Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee just in the last few minutes. That will be on air in just the next few minutes and will give you an idea of the latest that the state government believes is the situation over there. But from what we know, 18 people are dead. 14 people, bodies have been identified. 70 people are injured. We are told some of those injuries are very serious. The Indian Army rescuers over there have noticed vehicles under heavy girders, trucks, cars, autos. They've heard about minibuses as well, but there are now accounts suggesting that, in fact, there may not be minibuses under that debris. We can just hope about that. All right, let's just go straight now to that interview of my colleague Mondipa Banerjee has done with the Chief Minister of West Bengal.
Ms. Mamata Banerjee has cut short her election campaign to rush to the spot after the result.
Not only cut, sir. Okay. I postponed all the program because Kolkata Police Commissioner, he gave me information. Then I just came back and we were sitting here about 10 hours and not only me, my Chief Secretary, Home Secretary, my CP, my all the West Bengal government families, along with all the disaster management team and common people, all of we are working together.
21 people dead, Didi, what would you say to their families tonight?
This is a very big human loss. And the incident is very, if you ask me the scale of incident, that is very bad. And some construction company, we are taking all action against of them. This tender was floated, I think 2007, the order, left CPM time, left on time, not our time. And this work started 2009, in their time also. So that will be details inquired by the inquiry committee. Under Chief Secretary, there is an inquiry committee has been set up, we have Home Secretary and others, they are the member. And also he set up this Chief Secretary, a experts committee from technical things, from Kharagpur IITI, IIT. They have set up experts team so that they should find out the details. Who are responsible, how is responsible and all this. The crime, criminal part and the crime part that Kolkata police will take care.
You have said that the company was blacklisted by the railways.
No, that I never said because I do not know this company. I came to know that they are Hyderabad-based company and let them go into details and then.
What would you say to the fact that they have said they made no mistake?
Without inquiry, I cannot say anything. They have done very big mistake. It's a criminal intention. I don't agree with their person. After so many people killed, they will say that this is not our fault. This is not so casual.
And to blame God but for it.
Save God, thank God. This incident, what we have got the information first time, that maybe 200 people have been trapped and all this. So we are praying from the morning that let the people should survive. And out of these 80 persons what police rescued and the disaster team, at least 70%
are safe. We saw the fire brigade, the Kolkata police, the NDRF, and the army also had to be called.
We requested also, no stone should be unturned. Every action we have taken within the time.
Will this flyover continue to be built?
I think now the matter is under investigation and all this. I cannot allow people to die. So government will take all stringent action, this experts committee will take all strong action, police will take all legal action, all whatever the law will take its own course. That's why we don't allow them. Because sometimes the people also complain, we also ask from them, whatever I get that the information within this time, that the government said that you submit your full plan of action, that government didn't receive.
Very strong words there, the government will not let people die needlessly as at least 18 have. Three more bodies are apparently trapped in the debris and it will take time to remove them. In Kolkata, with Biswajit Das, Manidipa Banerjee, NDTV.
All right, in case you've just tuned in, that was an exclusive interview with the Chief Minister of West Bengal, Mamata Banerjee, over there, making a couple of very important points, that as far as she is concerned, that there is certainly criminality, there is an investigation which needs to take place, and there are people who are responsible, and action will be taken against them, but there is a criminal procedure which needs to be followed. For the benefit of our viewers, just tuning in, a flyover collapse in one of the busiest parts of Kolkata on Vivekananda Street in the Bara Bazar area of Kolkata. 18 people are dead. 14 people's bodies have been identified. 70 people are injured. They are in hospitals. So the condition of some of them is very, very serious. The National Disaster Relief Force is looking into operations over there, as also the Indian Army. There is a blame game which has already started between the Trinamool Congress and the BJP on responsibility. This was a project which was given way back in 2008-2009. It was supposed to have been completed in 18 months, this particular flyover. It's now 2016 and it's clearly not been completed. This is a company where the leadership of the company actually said that that they've done many projects like this in the past, and this was an act of God which had resulted in this tragedy today. That is an explanation which a lot of people don't accept at all. We'll take a short break. Do stay tuned.